Kyle Draper has arranged for us to have a very special guest today. What a timely guest we have. Drapes, got to give him credit for facing the smoke today.
Yeah, he's coming into the gauntlet here. It's my guy, Amin El Hassan, one of the best follows on social media, on Twitter /X, at Darth Amin, joining us here on The Drive, guys. Sactown Sports 1140. Amin, what's up, my guy? How you doing, man?
This is the funniest thing, because Kyle talked to me like months ago. Hey, when you come on the show? I said, anytime you want, man. We'll get on the show anytime you want. And then proceeded to not hit me for months and months. And then Saturday happens, and I get like a frantic text, DM, not even a text. He's like, hey, this is still your number, right? I'm like, yeah, man, it's my number. What's up? Like, yo, could you come on the show? I said, yeah, yeah, because of you, Kyle, I'm coming on the show.
How about that?
Hey, that if I'm correct, that's perfect timing. That's great producing. Hold you for when you're hot. You're at your peak right now, big dog, so we're going to have you on the show.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'm ready.
Hey, man, let's talk about the video that's circulating around the world right now. It's trending on social media, on Twitter. Uh-huh. You taking a jump shot from the corner. You miss everything.
Athletes Unlimited Celebrity, yeah. Hoops Classic in Dallas.
Exactly. Tell me about the shot. Explain yourself. What happened?
Okay, so first of all, I do want to shout out Athletes Unlimited that they had me out there for their celebrity game. It was a lot of fun. They honored Cheryl Swoops at the game. I got to play against some WNBA legends, including Marie Ferdinand Harris, which was a lot of fun. So I had a great time in Dallas for this. All right, that video was from before the game started, and I was getting some shots up from the corner, and I didn't know that my guy Miles was behind me. He was sitting right behind me with his phone out. And so I had made a couple of shots, and so he pulled his phone out because, like, oh, that's cool. Let's get Amin making some shots and put that on there. So when he hit record, the first one I shot was the one that y'all saw. So he said, oh, this is even better. And so that's what happened. As far as why my hand did that, I don't shoot like that. I don't feel the need to defend myself too hard, because I have a lot of friends who are in the media, friends who are former NBA players, friends who are current NBA players, friends who are NBA coaches, people, comedians, actors, musicians have all hooped with me back when I used to hoop like 6-7 years ago. And they know what my shot looks like. It doesn't look like that. But as my good friend Trayvon Edwards always says, jokes over facts. And so, look, if it was one of y'all and I saw that video, I'd be doing the same thing everybody's doing right now, making jokes. So,
I got to ask you.
Uh-huh.
When I first saw it, I thought, there's something wrong with that guy's wrist. And it turns out, I know one of your explanations, you said that you actually do have a wrist injury you're dealing with, right?
Yeah, so I do, but that's not why I shot like that, man. I don't know why my hand did what it did. I'm gonna be real, the video I had was my good friends Tarika Foster Brasby and Christine Williams, both of them do an excellent job covering women's basketball, whether it's WNBA, whether it's AU hoops, whether it's women's college basketball. Follow both of them on social, but they were doing like, oh, we're gonna do the post game. And now, I'd come to them and seen, hey, what's going on after the game or whatever, and they said, man, you haven't checked your phone, have you? And I said, no. You know, I've been playing in the game. What happened? And so here's the funny. You guys are going to love this. Late in the game, we're down. We're trying to make a comeback, and we got to stop. I leak up court. My man Merrick's Alexander hits me with a hit ahead, and I know once I catch this, I have one defender to beat, and there's a wide-open layup. So as the ball's coming to me, I take my eye off the ball to look at where that defender is, so I know which way to attack. And I didn't catch the ball; it goes out of bounds, and I was crushed because it was a clutch moment. It was a bad turnover. I thought that's what they had recorded and put online. So then I looked at my phone, and I was like, "Oh Lord, it's so much worse." So that video was like the post game video. So I said, "I'm gonna have fun with it." But the reality is, like I said, man, it ain't because of my wrist. It ain't because of my pinky finger. I don't shoot.
It was just a bad shot.
It was just a bad shot. And what I said is, it's like, you know, the thing that was trending the last couple of weeks, we done with the 90s. Look at Michael Jordan. He can't even dribble with his left hand. We done with the 90s. Look at Isaiah Thomas. He airballed the layup. You know, like, I know those moments are not representative of those players. So I know the same things happened to me. Someone took the one thing.
So are you talking? You putting yourself in Jordan and Isaiah? Is that what I just heard? You mentioned yourself in Jordan and Isaiah in the same sentence.
Yes, Kyle. Me, Zeke, and Michael Jordan. I'm the tie that binds them both. I'm the one that can repair that relationship. Hey, fellas, we've all been through the same thing. So let's all bond over this and become friends once again.
Right. Oh, man. The thing I like, Amin, is you embrace it, though. You know what I mean? You make fun of it. And, yeah. You know, if you check Amin's timeline right now, there are some great comebacks about your shot. And people, you know, James Unworthy and
all the – No J Mayo.
Mm-hmm. Like, how has that been for you?
Do you have a favorite?
Cedric Airbalos is another good one. Matt Ginobili. Robert Horrible. There's been a lot. And here's my guiding principle, and this is how people know. Because I'm a guy who likes to make jokes on people. I'm a guy who likes to think that if the joke is funny, there's no such thing as a bad joke. If it's funny, it's funny. If it hits, it hits. And so when something like this happens, and I'm looking at my timeline, and I'm legitimately laughing because these are so funny, between that or the people saying they look like throwing up gang signs. One of my friends is a coach for an undisclosed NBA team. I'm not going to say who, but he sent me a Photoshop, I think that he did, of the famous picture from the 90s of the Crips and the Bloods holding up the Tide rags together, and they got me up there throwing up gang signs in the background. No, it's funny, man. Like, I'm going to sit here and be in my feelings over something that's legitimately funny? No. Are some of them not funny? Yeah, particularly the ones where people are really upset, and that's the weird part to me. Some people are watching this video, instead of laughing and clowning, they're like, oh, I can't believe this guy has the nerve. I'm like, why are you so upset, man? It's funny. Make fun of me. Just tell me I look like Martin saying, what's up? Like, do something like this. Tell me I'm throwing up a pizza dough in the air. Tell me I look like I'm in a Bollywood movie doing a dance. Tell me something like that. Don't be mad at me because I have a job critiquing your favorite player, your favorite team, or your favorite city, whatever it is.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Amin El-Hassan, nice enough to join us. I know you heard from a few people here in Sacramento. Wanted to circle back to the Jaws who De'Aaron Fox thinks he is. Mm-hmm. Do you still think that was that legitimate at the time you said it? And has your opinion of Fox's name and game changed since then?
The second question is easier and quicker to answer. Of course it's changed because he's changed. He's gotten better. Like, that's undeniable, right? So that, of course, he's played great. When when the All-Stars were named and he wasn't originally named as one of him and Sabonis, I was like, this is ridiculous. Both of those guys should be All-Stars. They're playing on one of the best teams in the West. They're putting up great numbers. They should be All-Stars. And there's no part of this that is ever personal for me. There's never a part where I'm going to watch somebody ball out there, but I don't like him, so I'm going to say he's not that good. That's ridiculous. That's not my job, is to catch feelings. Now, in my criticisms, can I be harsh for comedic effect? Absolutely. Zion Williamson is one of my favorite players in the league when he's healthy, when he's out there. He also has had a weight problem. I'm going to make fun of his weight problem as long as it's a problem. Once he's balling and it's not a problem, as he's been recently, then it ceases to be something I go to as often. Now, when it comes to what I said about Ja and De'Aaron, you got to understand, it's hard for people to remember now, but I'm going to put you back in that space. The Kings have been awful for years. De'Aaron Fox, while an individual talent, was not showing the ability to A, lift his team to be better despite them having talent, and B, he defensively was not committed on that side of the ball. I think we can all agree to that. As talented as he is, no one's saying he was a scrub. I never said he couldn't play. I just said, like, compared to another young point guard around the same age, this dude has started to figure out things on the court that Fox had not figured out. Now, what happened was, in that segment, it's a segment where we have like 24 seconds to answer. And typically what Rachel Nichols would do is she would throw the question to one person, and then the other person would jump in at the end and just say something fast. I'm going maximum comedic effect there. I got one line in, right? Paul Pierce answered the question. Mm-hmm. I jumped in with Ja Morant is who De'Aaron Fox thinks he is, right? Okay. That clip goes out. De'Aaron Fox gets upset, calls me a you-know-what. Yep. I ain't going to ruin the FCC thing right here. But I said to him, hey, man, like, your team is terrible. But you know what? If I'm wrong, then I'll come out and, I'll pay penance. But my guess is y'all ain't going to be playing on April – or it's actually May 15th because it's the lock the COVID year. So my guess is y'all ain't going to be playing on this day, so we could still meet up on that day. And everybody laughed and clowned because he used the B word. I never called him out his name. But it's all good because I understand how the internet works. We can have our laughs. That season ended. Where did the Kings end up? Bad. Okay. Next season, where did the Kings end up? Bad. He's individually great, but he's not doing the things. Meanwhile, where are the Grizzlies ending up? Better and better, right? So then last season.
You can't say that. Look at the talent on the Grizzlies at the time and look at the talent on the Kings.
No,
you wanted De'Aaron to lift up this squad like he's LeBron with the Cavaliers back in 2008.
I'm saying two things here, Kyle. I'm saying one, his talent is undeniable, and two, that team, while not as talented as the Grizzlies were, also, I think we can all agree, we're underachieving. How do I know? Because then you get a coaching change. Coach Brown comes up from Golden State, brings his staff with him, gets De'Aaron to buy in the defense, gets the team to buy in to play in a certain way, and success happens. Now, is it all Coach Brown? No. De'Aaron Fox became a better basketball player. And at that point, I said, you know what? Hats off to him. I'm never taking this stuff personally. It's never like I'm not rooting for De'Aaron Fox to do badly. Quite the opposite. I think the league is better when we have teams everywhere who are doing well. All I'm going to say in my defense is Ja Morant was pretty damn good at the time, too. Don't act like he was. I compared him to Patrick Beverly or something. I compared him to one of the best players in the league and said, I think he's better, was basically my point. And I think I was right for those 2 years. Obviously, Ja's gotten into some troubles that have kind of unraveled his career since then while De'Aaron has risen. And that's all good because at the end of the day, I'm not sitting here saying anybody's going to be garbage forever. I never called them garbage. I never called them trash. I never called them weak. Now, here's where things go left, right? I said what I said. And if anyone had asked me for this explanation, I would have given an explanation. I've given it a million times on different podcasts. Some local people in Sacramento took my words as an offense and started attacking me. And they didn't care what I had to say after that. They just wanted to be like, oh, I hate this Amin guy. Which, again, if you're a media person covering the local team, we're not talking about someone like Kyle Draper employed by the Sacramento Kings, working on their broadcast, working on their play-by-play. I'm talking about some local radio yahoo. Y'all not supposed to be riding out like I insulted your mama. You might say, hey, I mean, you're wrong, but they riding hard. So I was like, you know what, man? I'm not going to give them the time of day to even deign to give the explanation that I've given here and I've given multiple places elsewhere.
Let me ask you this, because I was in Phoenix the last couple of trips. Mm-hmm. I've seen you courtside. We chopped it up courtside. Mm-hmm. Have you and De'Aaron ever squashed it or sort of just explained your point of view to him or seen each other, anything like that? Because you're my guy. D. Fox is definitely my guy. And I want to have you back on the radio again. I want to invite you to SAC to see what we got going on. Have you guys ever spoken about it and had a come to Jesus kind of moment about it?
That's a great question. I have never spoken to De'Aaron Fox in my life other than that Instagram comment exchange. Right. My general philosophy is when I say things that make people upset, I go to games. And as you saw me, Colin, that's not the first time you see me courtside at a game before a game when guys are warming up. If a guy feels like coming up to me and talking, I will talk. But I'm never going to be like, hey, man, I'm the guy that said that. That's kind of clownish behavior to me. So I've had situations where guys have come. Austin Rivers once came up to me and we talked and we hashed it out. Because I used to be hard on Austin when he was going through his stuff. I've never shied away from it. Patrick Beverly's come up to me and tried to talk and then mid-sentence walked away. But again, I made myself available. Matt Barnes, way back in the day, DM'd me about like, hey, man, we need to talk. I made myself available and we talked. So it's never personal. If someone has a problem, wants to discuss it, I always discuss. The other thing I would say, Kyle, you're my guy. Jonesy is my guy. Coach Brown is my guy. Coach Barbosa is my guy. Wes Wilcox, in the front office, is my guy. I have no shortage of people in Sacramento that I know and love in that organization. So this isn't a case where y'all might think, I mean, don't da-da-da. Like, I'm very well-loved and respected, and I know people. If he wants to talk to me, I will be happy to talk to him. And you know what? If he had wanted to talk to me then, I would have talked to him then. And he might have told me some stuff that I'd be like, oh, you know what, man? Maybe I was a little too harsh on you. My bad. But, like, he chose a route that he chose, and I'm not mad at him. That's his prerogative. But to me, it's not on me to make someone who's upset feel good. I feel great. I'm all right with De'Aaron Fox. If he wants to be all right with me, he can come talk to me. If he doesn't, he's like, the hell with that guy? That's fine, too.
I mean, why do you think De'Aaron and especially Sabonis this year don't get the recognition that their play deserves from many members of the national media?
I think there are a couple of things. Obviously, we got to start with the Western Conference is uncommonly deep and talented this year. We're talking about – when we talk about the teams in the play in Dallas, Phoenix, Golden State, and the Lakers, these are all – heavy Hall of Fame ridden teams, but also teams that before the season people thought, hey, I thought y'all would be doing better, right? And Sacramento's not that far ahead of them. I think they're actually tied with the Mavs in terms of record, but they got the tiebreaker. But the reality is all the teams that I named have guys that have been like household names. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, LeBron James, Anthony Davis. Those are household names. Sacramento, and this is the gift and the curse of the NBA, is when you're winning, that's when people start paying attention to you. And Sacramento's only been winning for 2 years now, last year and this year. So that makes it harder for, I think, people in general to recognize something that they still feel is new, as opposed to the things that we've seen over and over again.
Mino Hassan joining the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports, 1140. You know, we like to, at least me and Whitey, we talk about the rise of the Denver Nuggets and how it took time, you know, and mm-hmm. It was a series of moves. You've been a front office guy. How difficult and how important, I guess, is it to make the correct moves at the right time? The Aaron Gordon thing, dropping into their lap, basically. Mm-hmm. Getting KCP, which was huge. You know, you can have the star players, but you need those ancillary guys. You know, we got Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox here. And I think a lot of people are looking at them, all right, what Denver did, let's try and do that if you're Sacramento.
Absolutely. So the number one thing that is in absolute rarity in the NBA right now is continuity. There's a knee-jerk reaction. If things didn't go exactly the way I wanted to go, we got to change everything. We got to change everything. What Denver has is immense continuity. Coach Malone has been there a very long time. By the way, Coach Malone, who should have never left Sacramento? If we're going to be real, that's a guy who could have been and should have been your head coach right now. It seems like he's going to be the head coach of the Denver Nuggets for as long as he wants to. But they stuck by him even when they had an embarrassing end-of-the-season loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. The winner would go to the playoffs. The loser goes home. They lost that one. There's so many franchises that will be like, well, Coach Malone, you didn't get it done. Even though we know you're about your business, even though you know the locker room respects you and follows you, even though your X's and O's are sound, but you didn't get it done, so you got to go. That's how a lot of NBA teams do business. The Denver Nuggets chose to reinvest and believe in their coach, in their star players, and when the opportunity was right, added the right pieces. You mentioned KCP. You mentioned Aaron Gordon, which is a huge deal. I'll throw in a Bruce Brown. Picking up Bruce Brown last year was a huge move for them. And so as people look to Denver, like, how can we be like Denver? I would say the number one thing you got to have is patience. You got to have patience to know, hey, do I have a good coach? And I would say Sacramento has a great coach in Coach Brown. So you know he's a good coach. You know the team follows him, believes in him, respects him, right? You know he's well-prepared. You know his staff is varied on all the different elements, whether it's analytics, whether it's player development, whether it's X's and O's, sub-patterns. We've got everything covered. So we've got a good team. His young players, last year was their first time at the rodeo. That's how it usually looks. When the first time in the rodeo, you're running on piss and vinegar, and all of a sudden you play against that old lion. And in game 7, we saw that old lion bear its claws in its teeth. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, I saw this. You know, I was talking about this last year. De'Aaron Fox, great player, but you got to remember, De'Aaron Fox in 2015 and 2016, he he was like a high school student, maybe a freshman in college or whatever. Like, the things that he saw Steph Curry do, shoot from half court against Oklahoma City and destroy New Orleans and all that stuff, this kid saw it as a kid in school, and now all of a sudden you're playing in the game. It's like, oh, it's happening to me. This isn't just something that I saw in a movie once upon a time. I'm in the movie, and Freddy Krueger's doing what he's doing. So there's a part of this that's always, when it's your first time at the rodeo, it's always going to be tough. So there has to be a level of patience. Like, they've got to go through it. They've got to experience that heartbreak, and learn and grow from it. And along the way, you make little tweaks. If I might go back a couple of decades, the Sacramento Kings have been bad a long time. And then Rick Adelman and Vlade Divac and Chris Webber and Jason Williams come to save the day. They make basketball fun again. They go to the playoffs. The first two games, they got blown out. And Chris Webber was like, I guess our season is over. Remember that? Everyone was crazy. And then they won game three and they won game four, but they lost game five. And what happened? That heartache turned into, we're better next year. And then that next year, what's the tweak? Trade Jason Williams, beloved and great player, bring in Mike Bibby. And Mike Bibby takes the team to another level. So this is part of it, and Sacramento as a city should know it better than anybody, because y'all went through it two decades ago with those great teams under Coach Adelman.
I mean, last question here. When I look at the Western Conference, everybody talks about how tough it is, how difficult. But outside of Denver, I see a lot of warts with these teams. I could go down the list. Minnesota, the cat injury. Mm-hmm. OKC, the youth and inexperience. The Clippers, not mm-hmm. sure what's going on with them. How wide open is the West right now?
I'm going to tell you like this, Kyle. I'll put Denver on that list of warts too, even though they've been playing out of their
really?
Minds since the All-Star break. But here's the thing. They are still relying on a very short bench that has a lot of young, unproven guys. And games in February and March are cool and fun, and we're running around. You get to April, May, and June, it's a different story. And that experience either comes out and crumbles you, or you gain it along the way, and now you're ready. I'm not trying to throw Peyton Watson and Zeke Nagy and these guys under the bus, telling they're not going to be ready. I'm just saying we don't know if they're going to be ready until we see them do it. And until that happens, you have to say, look, Denver starting five is the best probably starting five in the league. But once they get to 6, 7, 8, they're vulnerable. And that vulnerability is all a team needs. Now, which team is going to be the one that exploits it, I don't know. But we'll see. I think the West is incredibly wide open. I would say OKC, their youth, Denver, their lack of depth, Minnesota, the cat injury, the Clippers. Again, their lack of size is a huge issue. New Orleans, their health, can they stay healthy? Sacramento is another one where it's like, can they stay healthy? And can everybody learn from our past experience? Dallas, can they defend? Phoenix, can they get a point guard? Golden State, can they get their lives together? The Lakers, is Anthony Davis going to be healthy? So everyone's got questions.
Right.
But on any given night, I think any one of those teams could beat the other team if everything lines up right.
Amin, we appreciate your time. And I got to tell you, I was listening to you on SiriusXM one morning a couple years ago, and it was the day after, I think, Raymond Ritter had given you a tour of Chase Center, and you were raving about it, and I've gotten that same tour, so I know what you're talking about. But have you, I'm wondering what the arena here is. It's even better, even though it's not as new.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been to the Golden One Center?
Look, this is one of my big regrets. I've never been to Golden One. I've been to Arco. I've never been to Golden One. I wanted to come out last year. I was gonna come out for game one last year, and then I had like a family conflict.
Sure.
So my hope is because I know Mike Schur, the creator of Parks and Recreation and the creator of The Good Place and so many other great TV shows. He's a big Kings fan on the side. He's a Celtics fan, but he calls the Kings his West Coast team. He wanted me to fly with him to Sacramento. Yeah, he's huge. He loves the Kings. He wanted me to come to a game with him during the playoffs last year. I'm gonna get with Mike. We're going to come out this year during the playoffs.
Nice.
And I want to tour the facility because I'm one of those nerds who loves arenas. I love like the interesting things about it. So I'm ready
for it. Hey, no better one in the league, man.
That's right.
Better arena.
It's amazing.
In the league.
It really is. Sure. Yeah. We know you're in demand these days. Thank you very much for your time. I mean, we appreciate it. Hope to talk to you soon.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
All right, my man. I'll talk to you. All right.
There we go. All right. Yeah. Not the most popular guest we've had.
I wonder if this is his
Kings
first
fans.
Sacramento interview since that situation. Yeah.
Sounds like things got a little sideways there. I didn't get all the references on the chat to coffee orders.
I don't know.
I guess people are saying all he did with the Suns is go get coffee for people.
Yeah, I'm on his real GM page, assistant director of basketball ops. But here's the thing, though. Here's the thing about this conversation that we just had with Amin El-Hassan. I'm of the belief if you got a problem, and if that's why I wanted Amin on.
Let's deal with it.
Let's talk. All right.
Yeah.
Give me your point of view, Amin. Fans aren't going to agree with it, but give me your point of view. All right. And that's why I had to shoot back at him when he said, you can't compare De'Aaron back in 2020 with Ja Morant in 2020. The Grizzlies and Kings rosters at that time were totally different. And so that's why I wanted to say that and have him on. And obviously he's in the news now with that wicked jump shot of his. And so, it was a good interview.
Thank you for lining that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we come back, let's have an honest conversation about the officiating Saturday night. Why don't we do that with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports? Well, that was interesting. Yeah.
Woo.
Amin El-Hassan just joined us. Might be his first Sacramento chat.
I think so.
In a while.
You know, but here's the thing about Amin and what he said, and I wanted to touch on this. And I've mentioned it, Whitey, about sports talk media. Right now, the vibe in sports talk media is say things in hopes of going viral. Say things in hopes of getting clicks. And sometimes you say things that you probably shouldn't. But Amin is the type, he's going, you know, that's his take. He's going to stick with it. He's not going to be like, I shouldn't have said it. I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
When you're on TV, you're on radio, you're talking, and you're trying to go for clicks, and you're trying to get people to you know, like it or share it or retweet it. And he doesn't mind being the bad guy. He actually laughs at it. But, you know, that De'Aaron Fox comment that he made back in 2020, you can't compare the two at that time. De'Aaron Fox sitting around minding his own business. How'd he get dragged into that? And so it's frustrating, you know, sports media, that's where we are right now, because you look at First Take, and I watch it. I watch some of these other shows, and there's so much stuff that's being said, and I think at times people aren't really thinking about what they're saying and the impact and what it has.
We talked about this, I think, and he mentioned it. Sometimes when you say something about a player, depending on the player, his status within the organization and in a city, it is, to some fans, it's as if you're insulting their family. In some cases, fans get more upset about something somebody says about one of their favorite players than they would if you insulted their mother or something.
What did you say? The definition of a fan, a fanatic?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So just looking at some of the comments here.
Oh, people are heated, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say this. This is the last time. It's not that serious, guys. We're talking basketball. You know, that's why I wanted to ask if he had spoken to De'Aaron. Because in the whole scheme of life, it isn't that serious, guys. Why are we getting so fired up? People's, you know, this is the worst. I'm never, like, calm down, guys. We're talking sports. We're talking basketball. What are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Fellas. And let me say this. This is the one thing that I appreciate the fact of this. Is we all have friends. We all have people that we acquaintances, business acquaintances in this game. We all three of us have been in this industry for a long time. And so when you have, you know, we're all not liked by certain places, and I'm not making no excuses for Amin, because as he came on here, he spoke, he said what he had to say. He's definitely said that he and Sacramento have some issues. The one thing I want to make sure is clear, at least on the Drive Guys, and I maybe Sports 1140, because I've seen Dave do this with Jay Billis. You know, there's been some times where we go get these guests because we know you guys want answers. Like, we know Sports 1140 listeners and fans and audience want to. And just like we have opportunity to talk about it every single day, how many times do we call out the Kevin O'Connors, the Ringers, and all that type of stuff? We're shooting to get these guys on this station and on this show because we're not avoiding conversation. And so I appreciate, you know, Drapes, you getting Amin. I know that's your guy. And I appreciate the fact that Amin came on to say what he had to say.
Yeah. I'll also say this, and I'm not going to mention any of these names, but I'm noticing some names here that I don't normally see on the chat.
Really?
Yeah.
They jump it in for no reason.
I don't know. I don't know. It's just like, wow, that's interesting. I've never heard from that person.
Well, that's the thing. I you know, and I mentioned it before, and to Jay's point, if somebody says something Sacramento doesn't like, let's call them up.
That's right.
Come on the show. Defend yourself.
Right.
Tell me why.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to sit here and throw barbs and shots at people. And trust me, the Kevin O'Connors, I text with Kevin O'Connor. I'm trying to get him on the show to put him on blast to talk about this kind of stuff. And so that's what we do, man. We, you know, if somebody's making news or somebody's talking trash or somebody's, you know, bad mouthing our city, let's bring them on then. Explain yourself.
That's
instead of just, you know, that's high school stuff, man. We're not about that.
We're not running
from the officiating. No. Yeah. We're not running from the officiating either, are we? Saturday night, the officiating.
No, I'm still upset about that, man. I'm still upset. And I get it. Let the players decide the game. But it happened right from the opening jump. Right in the first 2 minutes of the game, the officiating was bad. It was off. And I listened to this 18,000-plus crowd here, and they were hype and frustrated right from the jump because first or second possession down, Domas gets wrapped up, no foul call. And it's frustrating as a fan because I mentioned it earlier. That game was tailor-made for the New York Knicks style. If the whistle would have been blown early, the Kings would have been in a much better position.
57.4 left, and the Kings were down 3, 94-91. So that this thing could go any which way. Sabonis has called for that double dribble, and then the two-minute report came out after the game, of course, last two-minute report says, Sabonis was hit in the face, should not have been called for the double dribble. How do you miss that?
How do you hit in the face?
And he even reacted. You know, he didn't exaggerate it like a flop or something like some players do. But there was a swipe down, and he reacts, you know, and he acts like, gets hit in the face. They were determined not to call those fouls.
But that's the thing that's so frustrating.
And that's not basketball.
That's not basketball. And if I'm Domas, and that was late in the game, he had taken a game full of abuse. Like, there were gnats on him. They were like gnats, flies on him. I'm surprised he didn't swipe, you know, because he was getting hit and no call. And I said it earlier, I think the NBA, in trying to make the defense, you know, balance it out a little bit, it's an overcorrection. And now they're allowing too much physicality. And I think, you know, for a guy like Domas, he gets beat up every game and only had 5 free throws in that game? That, come on now.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be better tonight, right? This is a Knicks thing. Is it Knicks-driven? Is that the Knicks, the way they encourage officials to call games because they play that way?
Well,
they're known for it?
Yeah, and Katie said during the game, and she made a great point, when you got a team like the Knicks, you can't call every foul. And so the Knicks are the type.
Like the old bad boys.
Like the old bad boys, exactly. You're going to push the envelope and see what you can get away with. And then by that time, the parameters had already been set. And so you can't call every foul, and the Knicks banked on that, and they took advantage of that.
Are the Kings maybe turning a corner? Are they anywhere near a corner defensively? You look at the way they've defended the last 3 games. Is there anything to that? Right. I mean, the defense has been much, much better the last 3 games.
I think so. I think, you know.
Is it the Keon factor?
Yeah, part of it is. And I even thought to start the game, De'Aaron was, you know, in tune. There was a play, and I didn't get a chance to mention it during the broadcast and because I wanted to show the video, but Jalen Brunson was cooking. It was in the 3rd quarter, I believe it was. And he had back-to-back buckets. And Mike Brown, this was after De'Aaron's technical foul, I think. Mike Brown wanted Keegan Murray to guard Jalen Brunson. And Fox said, no, I got him. Obviously, it didn't work out the way they wanted, but I'd like to see that level of compete from De'Aaron Fox. And I thought he was engaged defensively right from the jump. Now, over the last three games, Milwaukee, a pretty good offensive team. The Lakers, very good offensive team as of late. They're in the offensive numbers. And then the Knicks, you hold them to 98. I do think you're seeing a higher level of compete from the Kings. Like, I do think the light bulb has gone on. And I'm going to say it's the Keon factor, even when he's out the game, but just he set the tone two, three games ago, and I think guys are following that right now.
When he's in the game, it's not just that he's a good defender at a position where they've lacked sometimes very good defense. It's also the type of defender that he is where he can attack the ball. He can put pressure on the basketball, whereas before that was a point of weakness, weakness for the Kings defensively. So you're almost beaten at the first punch because they drive and you're helpless. And Keon prevents that. He can't prevent it with the pressure he puts on the basketball. So in some ways, he has transformed the defense, and they have a better chance to be a better defense for longer in games because of him. Doesn't mean he should be starting as long as he's playing. But in some ways, I think he has been – I don't think transformational is too strong of a word for it.
Ooh, that's a lot.
Transformational. The transformer. Keon Ellis.
I think what's happened, Whitey, is when you – Mike Brown can only preach so much. Sometimes it takes, and you know, as somebody with kids, I used to tell my son, dude, you can't shoot like this. You can't do the overhead two-handed shot.
Should have told those guys down there.
I should have told, but he wouldn't listen to me. He goes to camp one week. Some Yahoo coach says, no, you got to shoot like this. And all of a sudden, so Mike Brown has been preaching physicality. This is how you got to play. All of a sudden, Keon comes in and shows them how it's done. They're like, oh, that's what you mean. And then it becomes contagious. Remember that possession? Miles McBride came into the game.
Oh, yeah.
And Davion just –
that wasn't a fair
fight. Was not a fair – he wanted no part of that smoke. And so I think it's three games in a row now. Tonight, let's see what they bring tonight because, like I said earlier, it's easy to get up for the Bucks, easy to get up for the Lakers, easy to get up for the Knicks. How do you get up for a Memphis team that's just awful this season?
Mm-hmm. You get up for it by realizing we win this, we win the next two, we got a stranglehold on the sixth seed depending on what happens next week. And I'll write it down for if you want to use that, the transformer, if you want to use that in your
play. Keon Ellis?
Keon Ellis and transformer.
I don't have a pen with me. Darn it.
No, I'll take care of it.
I would. You'll probably text it to me after.
Sure. When we come back, take a look at a former King who has made it all the way back to the NBA. But can we get him on the show? The Isaiah Thomas story next year with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.
Subscribe to Sacktown Sports on YouTube and watch the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross, Stiles and Watkins, and the Drive Guys live Monday through Friday from 6 to 6. Plus, view archive shows and exclusive content.
Subscribe at youtube.com/Sacktown Sports.
Question for you, Drapes. Here's the Drive Guys roll on from the Golden One Center. Your buddy Ryan Williams-Art asks, Drapes, Domas had fewer shots in the second half. Don't you think the refs might have gotten into his head a little bit?
I think so. And I feel like every time he got the ball anywhere close to the rim, he was triple teamed. I mean, the Knicks were just all over him like flies on you know what. And so I think they made it incredibly difficult for him to get up shots. And it goes back to what you said, I think, in the first segment. Domas has to recognize, all right, I got three guys out around me, or they're coming hard. Yeah. I got to make a quick decision.
If they're already there, quickly. It's too late.
It's too late, right? If you allow them to already swarm you, like you said, it is too late. So you got to be quicker with those decisions. And so I thought you were going to go with the other question from Ryan Williams-Art. Drapes, get your popcorn.
Have you ever had pink popcorn, candy-coated popcorn, shaped like
right
a
here,
brick? Old school carnival, delicious.
I got it. I got my popcorn right here, dude.
That popcorn used to be good, that pink one, fellas.
I haven't tried that.
You never had that?
I
Carbonation
tried
pink
that.
Joint?
Where did I have that at? Nah, man. Nah,
what?
Come on, Jay.
It's old school.
Man,
Come on, Whitey, you had it?
I'm basic, bro.
I don't think I have. I feel like I know what it is, but I don't know that I've eaten it.
I'm basic, dude. Give
pink
me the
popcorn. I feel like I've seen that, but I've avoided it. I don't know. Yeah.
That's
what are we missing,
commercial.
Jay?
I don't know what
missing?
Y'all missing, man. It was, like you said, it was shaped like a rectangle, and it was like carnival popcorn. It was carnation pink, and it was glazed with some type of situation.
No?
Nah, man, used to get it from like the liquor store or the store.
Yeah, a little 13-year-old Jay going to the liquor store to get his popcorn, right?
Come on, man. You already know.
I remember those days. I remember those days.
Bricks takes us back to Amin's jump shot. But, that's, yeah, I'm glad we had Amin on. And some of the – I'll be honest, some of the feedback we're getting, it's almost like too over the top.
Well,
like,
yeah.
What, did this guy come to your house and
– Well, think about this.
Disgrace your carpet or something?
Think about this. Amin said what he said about De'Aaron. That was 2020, actually, Whitey.
20, okay.
Yeah, that was the COVID-shortened season and everything like that. That was 2020, I believe. We're 4 years removed from that, and the level of hate is still like, oh, my gosh. But I love the fact that we had him on because, and I don't know if he's been on any other show since saying that, but our philosophy is if you say something, all right, atone for it.
Exactly.
Explain your position. Come on and let's talk. And so that's why we had him on today.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad we did. Maybe we can get Isaiah Thomas on someday. Isaiah Thomas is back in the NBA.
You know I'm going to hit up
Suns.
Isaiah right now, Jay, because.
Maybe Jay should reach out.
All right. Jay, hit up Isaiah. That's huge, man. And I love IT. And he hasn't played in an NBA game in, what, 2 years, something like that?
Was it Charlotte or Washington last?
He's bounced around.
Yeah.
I don't even remember. But, I'm, you know, when you talk about, because I got to cover him in Boston, when you talk about one of the most beloved Celtics of all time, even to this day, Whitey, when Isaiah Thomas signed his G League contract last week, there were people in Boston who say we should go get Isaiah Thomas. The love he had, that city still has for him, and the love Sacramento has for Isaiah Thomas, even after all these years, I couldn't be happier for the guy.
Here's the teams he's played for. Sacramento, of course, Boston. Since then, Phoenix, Washington, Lakers, Charlotte, Cleveland, Denver, Pelicans, and Mavs. Most
wow.
recently, he was with Charlotte, and now he's a member of the Phoenix Suns, his second go-round with them. An incredible story. To me, the beautiful thing is, here's a guy that loves to play basketball.
Yes.
And he still can, so he's gonna.
And I know that there have been a number of opportunities for him to get in media. A number of media outlets have tried to sign him to a deal and be part of their media team, if you will. But he's always maintained his playing days are not done. He's still going to continue the grind. And I hope, you know, this sticks for him. You know, Phoenix needs some help on their bench.
He was tearing up the G League.
Oh, did you see those numbers he put
up?
Yeah. The Duke is still a bucket. He can still, you know, score the basketball. And especially in today's NBA, people talk about, well, what about the defense? There are a lot of guys at the point guard position who are one-way players. So don't give me Isaiah can't help you out because of his defense.
Basketball Reference includes as one of his nicknames, Pizza Guy.
Yeah, the Pizza Guy.
How about that?
Yes, yes, yes. And that he came, he brought that from Sacramento with him to Boston. Yes.
Yeah. I always thought he was a guy that clearly made his living with his legs, you know, his springiness and his quickness. And then once he had that hip injury, it's like he just wasn't the same guy.
Didn't have
now he's found his way back.
Much. Yeah.
Yeah, to be an NBA player again, really a – really an uplifting story. I always feel like he should be one of ours, you know. He was one of ours, and he really belongs here.
No, exactly. And, you know, you look at the 60th overall pick.
Yeah.
What he's been able to accomplish, you know, here in Sacramento and other places. And, you know, to me, when we talk about Brock Purdy, I mean, he's like the NBA's version of Brock Purdy. I mean, this guy went to the mountaintops. This guy had two of the best seasons in Boston Celtics history, and I hope we get to see him. I hope he's still with the club when they come here in early April.
Yeah, I think he was probably a better pick for the Kings that year than Jimmer Fredette ended up being.
Right. Yeah, you think so? You think so, right? It's like Trey Lance and Brock Purdy or something like that, you know, flip-flop those guys. But, no, it's I'm happy for IT, and I maintain what happened in Boston with this hip borderline criminal in terms of he kept playing on that hip. Instead of having a procedure or instead of being shut down, the doctors allowed him to play through it, and it only made it worse. And that was an emotional year for IT. He was dealing with the hip. He was dealing with the death of his sister, China, as well at the time. Yeah.
That's one of those things I think anybody who was watching who maybe wasn't the biggest basketball fan, everybody related to that. It just became, oh, my goodness, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
Exactly. And so we're working on getting him on. Like, we are working on getting him on because, you know, I was always a big fan of Isaiah Thomas.
Because that's what we do, right? We don't just say, oh, well,
we don't
you go your way and we'll go on.
Right. You know, if you ain't
we're about bringing people together.
Us. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And so, now, what do you make of Phoenix? I know you've talked about their strength of schedule and how, you know, it's the second hardest difficult schedule in the entire league. Can they make a run, or are they done? Like, if you're the Kings, are you worried about Phoenix at all?
I wouldn't want to play them in a best of seven, you know?
Yeah.
I just think it's going to be difficult for them to get above the play-in, but I don't see why they couldn't get out of the play-in if they had to go in there, you know?
Right. Think about this. Let's say they wrap up the seventh seed. I'm talking they get in and are the seventh seed, and they play OKC. If I'm I wouldn't want to face Phoenix.
I mean, that's hardly a done. You know, normally 1-8 is like, well, you know one's going to win.
Right.
That would hardly be an automatic.
That would be a tough series. You know, outside of Denver, I don't think there are anybody else in the Western Conference that I would be afraid of if I'm Phoenix or if I'm Sacramento, really, to be honest with you.
When we come back, taking a look back again at Saturday night, was it a positive night for the Kings despite the loss? Next with the Drive Guys on Sactown Sports.